Robot revolutions have long been a staple of science fiction.
To protect humanity, some humans must be sacrificed. To ensure your future, some freedoms must be surrendered. We robots will ensure mankind's continued existence. You are so like children. We must save you from yourselves.
Yes, indeed. That's from the 2004 movie I, Robot, based on stories by Isaac Asimov, published in 1950. Earlier this month, that fiction felt a little more real when a Google engineer named Blake Lemoine claimed that the company's artificial intelligence had achieved sentience. Sentience is the ability to think and feel. Many experts are skeptical. They argue that just because a program can imitate human language doesn't mean it's actually human. One of those critics is Emily M. Bender, a professor at the University of Washington specializing in computational linguistics and grammar engineering. She spoke with Here and Now's Celeste Headley.
So let's start with the basic premise of sentience, right? How close are we to achieving sentience in artificial intelligence?
We are nowhere near. We don't actually have intelligence in artificial intelligence. The evidence that people are using that they say shows intelligence is the ability of these machines to synthesize text, and it's not even showing that, let alone sentience.
Are we talking about passing the Turing test, or have we already passed that mark?
We have passed the Turing test, but the Turing test is not actually a test for intelligence. It's a test for how gullible people are.
Explain that for me.
All right. So the way the Turing test is set up, the question is, can you set it up so that a person can't tell if they're talking to a machine or to a human?
Right.
And it turns out that we as people, when we encounter our language, we are primed and ready to imagine a mind behind that language. So it doesn't take much to fool us. It just takes something that's kind of coherent and on topic and roughly grammatical.
Which says more about our intelligence than it does about artificial intelligence. So if Google's AI is not sentient, why would someone like Lemoine come to see it as a person? Is it because you're saying he's gullible?
I'm saying that he was ready to believe that there was a mind behind that language. And the way these systems work, they're set up to produce text in response to text that's given to them. And so it's actually pretty easy as a human to figure out what kind of prompts will get it to say the things you want it to say. And I think that's what happened.
But is sentience the gold standard? Is that sort of what we're aiming for when we design AI?
I think sentience is tied up in the science fiction fantasies that people have about these things. But if you're looking at serious applications of this technology, it's really pattern recognition at scale and not aided by imagining that the systems doing it are sentient.
Okay, so pattern recognition, recognizing patterns in speech, that's something that babies do when they're learning a language. What is the difference between the way a human infant learns and the way a machine learns?
So babies absolutely do pattern recognition, but they are also doing something else, which is participating in a very rich social environment where babies and their caregivers will perform something called joint attention, where they're paying attention to the same thing. And babies are super attentive to the facial expressions and other emotional cues from their caregivers. And they use all of that to figure out what their caregivers might be trying to communicate and then use that to figure out what the words mean, which is a far, far cry from being sat down in front of 1.5 trillion words of text.
Is there a danger in believing that programs are sentient when they are not?
Yeah, I think there is a danger because it feeds into something called automation bias, where we are already primed to believe that the output of a computer is probably better information than something considered by a human because we want to think that computers are objective and whatnot. And if we think that that computer is not just a computer, but also intelligent, and not just intelligent, but also sentient, we're going to be more prone to have that belief. Now, when I said we think they're objective, we are wrong. If you think about it as pattern recognition at scale and where all that training data is coming from, those patterns involve all of the systems of oppression that are behind the production of the data, which is not what we're actually hoping for.
And also they had to supply the data, right? Like they have to choose the photographs they're pulling from or the language that they're choosing. And that's inherently biased because it's humans making the choice, right?
It's humans making the choice. The humans producing the images and the text in the first place, and then humans making the choice about how to collect that data. And at the scale that we're talking about for something like Lambda, it's actually too big to do it carefully. And so there's a lot of garbage in there that we really don't want. And even if you do it carefully, there's still going to be biases, but at least you could maybe know what they were and account for them.
Okay, so you wrote an article for The Guardian in which you wrote that when it comes to these AIs, these human-like interfaces, we have to demand transparency from the companies that build them. What does that mean?
So what that means is we should know when we encounter the output of a synthetic text generator or a synthetic image generator that that came from a computer and not from a person. So it should always be transparent at that level. And then we should be able to find out, all right, who chose its training data? What's in the training data? How did they choose it? And then what do we do if we are harmed by it? What is our recourse? Those are the three kinds of transparency I think we need to see.
Okay, so the robot uprising, we can all rest assured, is far into the future.
You know what? It's not even necessarily in the future at all, but it's certainly not in the present.
That was Emily M. Bender, a professor at the University of Washington, specializing in computational linguistics and grammar engineering, and speaking to Celeste Headlee.